So Afhein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes doesn't just mean they were also part of the miracle, but the Rashbam writes it means that they were the ikar of the miracle. He writes, the Rashbam, this is Amsachem Kuf Ches Amud Beis, Dabar Misecha Sota, B'schar Nashem Tzidkaniyo Shehayu Ba'oso Ador Nigalu. In the merit of those righteous women that were in that generation, the Jewish people were redeemed. Now, what we're saying here is quite extraordinary. If you think who is, you know, the main character in Yetzias Mitzrayim, the main cause of redemption. So I think we think of Moshe Rabbeinu and the like and the men. I don't think this is Rashbam is engaging in apologetics. Rashbam is saying that certainly the outward facing person in terms of the redemption, the most important figure was Moshe. But if we go back to the root of the Geula and what was the root cause of the Geula, Rashbam says it was the Nashim. The Nashim, Tzidkaniyo Shebaoso Ador, they were the reasons why the Jewish people were able to keep going throughout the harsh and bitter exile. And that is what Afhein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes means. And the Rashbam says the same thing is true for Purim. In Purim, it's more obvious with Esther, but the same thing also he says in Hanukkah. And Afhein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes is really, again, quite interesting. You could have read the Gemara. In fact, some read the Gemara. Afhein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes means Afhein Hayu Ba'oso Tzara. They were also in the same predicament and they were redeemed. Right, the Jewish men and women were enslaved. They were in the same problem, and they were equally redeemed. That's actually the view Tosfos takes. But the way the Rashbam learns it, as well as other Rishonim, is that Afhein Hayu Ba'oso Hanes means they were the predominant figures behind the redemption. That's what kept the Jewish people going. Perhaps he thinks that if they just played an equal role, then we would still revert to our regular rule of Nashim being Pturos for Mitzvah Saseishas Man Gram. It's only because they were the Iker. Like in Purim, like in Hanukkah. So it's an incredible thing that that what we're saying over here, that that the Nashim are the ikar of the Gula, and that's why, according to Ramban, they're equally chayavos in these mitzvos halayla. Okay, that was just a point from last week, which I was thinking about after the shiur. So we're going to begin today with the discussion of Heseba, with reclining or leaning during the Seder. And we'll see here, there's actually an interesting discussion about Nashim as well. But first, let's talk about the general halacha. So the Mishnah at the beginning of Rabbi Pesachim says, Afilu ani shebi Yisrael lo yochal ad sheyesev, which means that even a poor person may not eat until they recline. There's a mitzvah of Haseba. The simple reading of the Mishnah, though there are other readings, is that even a poor person is chayav in Haseba. Why would you think a poor person is not chayiv in Haseba? Why would a poor person not be obligated in leaning? Poor people are equally chayiv in all mitzvos. There's no difference between poor people and rich people. What's the havamina? What do you think? Why would you think maybe a poor person would be potter, such that the Mishnah needs to tell me, no, poor people are chayiv?
The essence of Haseba is for like freedom and a certain
Right, absolutely.
But that's not reflective of their life? Okay, good.
So I think that's a nice interpretation. In other words, maybe the point is that it would almost be sort of hypocritical for them to lean. That's not true. And in which case, what's the answer? So why do they lean? Why do we say even poor people would have to lean?
We're all considered to be malchus.
But what if you're not rich?
But on the night of, I'm saying specifically on the night of the Seder.
We're all like Malachim. Good. Excellent. Maybe you could add that when we celebrate Chayrus, even a poor person is a Ben Chori. They're free. They might not be aristocratic. But really, we're not celebrating that we became wealthy. We're celebrating our freedom. So that could be it. Be that as it may, Tosfos actually tells you a different havamina. Tosfos thinks the havamina is that they don't have upon that which to lean. In other words, the mitzvah of Haseba was presumably in Egypt when they were celebrating their first Seder. They didn't have Haseba. or for many hundreds of years later, because who would eat with haseba? Where did haseba originate? Probably it's because the aristocracy in the times of the Romans would lean, like in those pictures of the people eating on the couches and the like. So we're acting like that. So let's say this poor person doesn't have what to lean. He sits on a bench. So you might have thought that he's potter, because whatever leaning he's going to do, it's almost like a joke. He's going to, like, you know, it's sort of even like us at the Seder. Nobody really knows exactly. They're always trying to figure out how to lean. It's not so comfortable leaning. You know, maybe if you have an armchair, so you could try to lean, you know, put a pillow on the armchair. I don't have an armchair. How do you lean if you don't have an armchair? Especially you have to lean on your left side. I always thought, by the way, the easiest way to do it is to flip the chair around. I don't know if you could see, but I put the chair the other way, and then I lean like this. Because if otherwise, what are you going to lean on? But anyway, these poor people, they don't even have a chair with a back. So, okay, you could come up with some way to lean. But that's not really leaning. I mean, you're not, even if the idea is to look like these aristocratic Romans. So, but they're not going to do that. So that's the Havamina, that they would be Pater. Kamash Malan, that they're Chayiv. So why are they Chayiv? In other words, they don't really have to lean on. Whatever they're leaning on, it's not real leaning. I mean, it's technically leaning. They're leaning on their left side, but it's not really behavior. It's not that aristocratic behavior. So why are we telling them to lean? That's the Havamina. So why isn't it true? What's the Kamash Malan? So I thought maybe Kamash Malan is that the leaning is much more about a symbolic act. And it's like many of the things that we do with the Lel HaSeder, leaning is a prop. It's a way in which we tell the story. Chayv Adam liros esatzmo kilo yatzim etzrayim. Chayv Adam laharos esatzmo. We have to feel like we left. We have to act out like we've left. It's we tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, not just by telling a story, but by acting it out. And that's true on a Doraisa level, like with Maror and Matzah. And it's true on a Durabanan level as well. Haseba is a mitzvah Durabanan. And so this mitzvah Durabanan is the means by which we act out. Now, if you act something out, so there's two ways of acting out. If you go to a Broadway play that's big budget, so the props are going to be incredible. But, you know, when you see little kids playing school, so they don't have fancy props. So what do? They find whatever they could find and they make do and they pretend. And so that's fine also. So the poor person's going to do haseba. And their haseba is not really going to be like the haseba of this wealthy person, but they're acting it out. And that too is akim. The way in which we tell the story, this is one of the ways in which Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is different than the mitzvah of, let's say, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we do every day. Every day we remember the Exodus. At the Seder, we relive it and we act it out. And to act it out doesn't, you know, require some degree of imagination, and it doesn't require high budget props. And so that being the case, so then yes, even the Ani could do that. Everybody could figure out a way to lean in some way, and that's what we do. So an interesting question we could consider is the following. Is Haseba, we know that you have to lean during certain parts of the Seder. The Gemara says certainly you lean during the Matzah. You certainly don't lean during the Maror. You lean during the Arba Kosos. So the Gemara has a question, which of the four cups do you lean? Do you lean during the first two or do you lean during the last two? And because we're unsure of which ones, so we lean in all four. So we lean during certain parts of the Seder. So you could look at this conceptually in two different ways. Is it the idea that there's a mitzvah to lean? The mitzvah is haseba when we do it during particular times, like during the Matzah. Or is the pshat that one of the conditions in the fulfillment of mitzvah's matzah is haseba? It's not a d'oraisa condition, but it's a d'rabbanan condition. So we lean during matzah. It's a din in hilchos matzah. It's not a din in will say Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, or an independent obligation of a Seva. You hear the Tutzdadim? So take a look at the Rush. This is your fourth line on the sheet. The Rush writes, V'malcha b'lo aseba lo yatza. If you ate without a seba, meaning you ate the matzah without a seba, you didn't fulfill your obligation. The Gemara asks a question: does a shamash, does a waiter have to leave? And the Gemara says he does, and the Gemara says that if he eats without leaning, he wasn't yotze. So the Rush says, oh, you see, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So from the Rush, what does it sound like? Does the Rush sound like you didn't fulfill which mitzvah? If you eat without leaning, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. You didn't fulfill what mitzvah? Sounds a little bit like the mitzvah of matzah, right? And so the Rush is saying, oh, how do you eat matzah? You eat matzah with a seba. It's a condition in achilas matzah. If you look at the Rambam, and this point was made by the Brisker Rav, sounds like he has a different approach. We take a look at the Rambam. That's the next source. The Rambam writes like this: B'chol dor v'dor chayv adam laharu sasatzmo kilu yata hu v'atzmo yata ata meshiba mitzrayim. The Rambam's lashon is laharos. Everybody has to show, to act, to demonstrate as though they left Egypt. As though they left Egypt now. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'osanu hotzi misham. You took us out from there. Us. And that's in Sefer Dvarim. This is not the generation that necessarily left Egypt. Even later, the way we talk at the Seder is we were taken out. You have to think about it as though you yourself were an Eved. And then you got out and you were free. Lefikach, therefore, kishesoid adam belayla hazeh, when you eat on this night, so how do you eat? Dercheiros, right? It's nothing to do with matzah per se. When you're eating on the night of the Seder, we eat like aristocracy. Another fulfillment of that same idea is arbakosos, etc. And then halacha ches, if you want to be swallowed, you'll call it chesed, like we saw before, even a poor person has to lean. When do you need to do a seva? B'shas achilas kezayis matzah, v'shtiyas arbakosos. Halah elu, v'shar achilas v'shtiyaso, im hesef ha'rezim mishubach v'im la'vein otzarach. So for the Rambam, it doesn't sound like it's a din in matzah. It sounds like it's a din in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a din in we have to act out and feel as though we left. And we do that in many ways, like Haseba, like Arbakosos, and the like. Minimally, at the very least, you have to lean during Matzah and Arbakosos. And ideally, one should lean throughout the Seder. In other words, it's not a din in Matzah. It's a din in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a din in Chayv Adam Laharos Atzmo. So here we have two different perspectives on the mitzvah. Either way, though, certainly one should lean. So the question we need to consider now is, really, is that so simple? Is it true? Do we still have to lean? Because after all, nobody leans anymore. Like we said before, it's quite unusual. The only time people ever lean is at the Seder, really. So maybe there's no point anymore. So that point is made exactly by the Rav Yah. That's the next source over here after the Brisker Rav. Rav Yah writes, "Uvizman hazeh she'e." I'm reading where it's bolded. She'en regilus b'artzenu she'en regilus b'nei chorin l'hasev yeshiv kedarko. When nobody, even b'nei chorin, don't lean, so sit normally. You don't have to lean anymore. That is the view of the Rav Yah. Oh. So the Rav Yah makes a lot of sense. So those who disagree with the Rav Yah, what do they hold? So the next source is the Marshal, and he says, no, mikol makom nira de'ink peda she'ena ela l'rames hacheros shahaya biyamim ha'im. Even though it's not normal for people to lean, but still it's a remez. So what do you think, how is he answering the question? Nobody leans anymore. Why is it still a good idea to lean? What's his answer? It's l'rames hacheras. So what does that mean? It's meant to be symbolic. Like we said before, it's a symbolic act. It's still a symbolic act. We're still symbolizing our cheros through leaning. It's true, it's not a contemporary symbolic act. But anyway, in a certain sense, this is where we're acting things out. And therefore, it makes sense to continue to act it out nowadays, even though if my particular leaning doesn't reflect cheros. Very similar to the idea we said at Tosfos at the beginning, right? Even a poor person has to lean. Why? The poor person's leaning doesn't really mean anything. He's just leaning on the knees of the person sitting next to him. No, because it's still acting it out. It's still derech cheros in that way. So that is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, does not paskin like the Rav Yah. The Mechaber says in the next source, you need a seba, and if you didn't do it by seba, you have to do it again. According to the Mechaber, if a person forgot to lean for matzah, even if they already benched, they would have to wash again, eat more matzah, and bench again. That's the view of the Mechaber. However, the Rama writes, Hagah, the Rama writes, V'yeshomim, there's vanazeh ein derech lahasev. Nowadays, it's not the derech to be masiv. And therefore, kedai ravia lismoch alav shebediavid yatza below a seba. Therefore, we could rely on the haseb on the ravia b'diavid. B'diavid, meaning to say you should still lean, but really, the ravia is probably correct. And therefore, if you forgot to lean, you don't have to do a redo. And especially when a redo isn't so obvious, like you've already benched, or let's say the kosos of wine that can't be repeated, or the like. So therefore, if a person forgot to lean and it's difficult or problematic, the Mishnah Berurah defines exactly what that means, they don't have to redo it. Okay, so those are the two opinions. Now, there's a very interesting idea when it comes to women leaning. So the Gemara says that a married woman, I assume, does not need to lean, but says, Isha ein tzricha lahasev, this is after the small text, Alim ken hi chashuva, and Isha chashuva has to lean. And then the Rama writes, L'chol hanashim shelonu mikri chashuvos. All of our women are called chashuvos. So therefore, all of our women have to lean. Now, what is this idea of a Isha not having to lean and Isha chashuva having to lean? So there is a little bit of a machlokas about this, perhaps between the Rashbam and the Shiltos above. But I think the basic idea is as follows. The basic idea is that in a society where women was considered inappropriate for them to lean, so they wouldn't have to lean because that wouldn't be acting like B'nai Chorin for them. But and therefore, in that society of the Gemara, it was women didn't lean, but Nashim Chashuvos did lean. So she's an Isha Chashuva, she should lean. And nowadays we're saying all Nashim are Chashuvos. Rav Moshe even has a very interesting take on it, that the importance of and the value of emphasizing the chashivas hanashim. Al kopanim, so that's what the Rama says. So then you'd think, so women for sure have to lean nowadays, right? Because the Rama just told us that our women are all nashim chashuvos. But then the Rama writes, ach nagu lo nagu lahasev. However, the minhag is that women don't lean, not because fundamentally women don't have to lean, but for a different reason. Kisamchu al divrei Rav Yah. They rely on the opinion of the Rav Yah, because of the bizman hazeh ein lahasev. In other words, really women should lean nowadays, but really we paskin like the Rav Yah, that leaning is not necessary nowadays. Men continued the practice of leaning anyway, even though they technically speaking, don't need to, but women never accepted upon themselves this practice to lean, and therefore women don't have to lean. If you want to lean, you can lean. If you don't want to lean, women don't have to lean. Now, there's a very interesting question. I mentioned before that the Gemara says that when it comes to the Arba Kosos, either the first two Kosos have to have Haseba or the second two Kosos. So we don't know which one is right, so we say they should lean. For all, everybody should lean during all four cups. So what's the obvious question here? Is a seba mitzvah d'oraisa or mitzvah d'rabbanan? What do you say? Is there a pasuk that you need to do a seba? So there's not, right? Okay, good. So it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, right? Agreed? So what would we say, mitzvah d'rabbanan, and we have a suffix, whether it's first two or last two. What do you think? What should we do? So what's the general rule for d'rabbanan? We would say suffix d'rabbanan l'kula. So why are we machmir here? Why are we machmir and say you have to leave for all four cups? So there are two answers to this question in the Ran. The Ran, you have it below, asked this question. And he says, first answer is that, well, it's easy enough to lean. So since it's easy, we should be machmir. The Gemara says this in certain other places. It says, miyos tov al tikri ra. And leaning, there's no particular torah, it's not a tircha, there's not hotzah, it doesn't cost any money. So Liba is giving a different answer to the question. That is the second answer of the Ran. Excellent. So Liba is the second answer of the Ran is, read it inside since you're machav into it. The li nira de al karchach bay lemadvan haseba bekulu the neza lekulu. If we were to be mako, then why would you pick the first two or the last two? And if we're mako for both of them, then the whole mitzvah is gone, right? So we have two answers, and so both of them teach us fundamental principles. One idea is that even though generally speaking, when you have a case where you're allowed to be mako, like it's a suffix to rabbanan, if it's easy to be machmir, why shouldn't you be machmir? Ah, you don't have to. So the way the Mesil Shasharim puts it, which is similar to what the Ran says here and the Maram Chalava says over here, is that when it's so easy to be makel and you're not, sorry, so easy to just be stringent and you're not, it shows a certain flippancy. And therefore, why, Lamashal, somebody is, you have in front of you Chalav Yisrael milk and milk that is Stam Chalav. So even if somebody is Mekil normally, and they certainly have upon whom to rely, Rav Moshe is a very strong Kula, but there are Machmirim. So Miyos HaTov Al Tikri Ra, you may as well take the Chalav Yisrael milk. That's his first answer. The second answer is no, different idea, that you can't apply the principle of suffik to rabban l'kula, where being makel would do away with the mitzvah altogether. Okay, so which side do you lean on, left or right? So everybody knows that you lean on your left side. The Gemara gives two reasons for this. Number one is that esebas yamin lo shmei eseba, which the way most Rishonim understand it means if you're a righty and you lean on your right side, you won't be able to eat normally because your arm, your hand would be smushed. And therefore, the normal way to lean is to lean on your left side. And then the second reason the Gemara says, sounds like a second reason, though that might be also a debate, is shabayakdim kanal veshet, because maybe you'll choke. So which one of these reasons is what's a nafkamina between these two reasons? A lefty. If you hold like the first reason, so then a lefty would want to lean on his right side because this way he'll be able to eat more easily because he'll have his strong hand available to eat. But if the reason is because of choking, and we assume that the choking is because of the physiology of the kana neveshet, so then we would think that the better way to do it is okay, thank you. Yeah. Give it to Shoshana. Then we would think the better way to do it would be for the lefty to lean on his right side. But if it's because of the concern for choking, then he should lean on his left side. So almost most of the postcards, I'm just going to close the door. Most of the postcards assume and this is the halacha l'maisa, that in that case, even a lefty should lean on his left side. What's interesting is the Maharal disagrees with that. The Maharal writes that how would we call it derech eras if the lefty's leading on his left side? He can't even eat normally, right? The hand that he usually eats with is now being leaned on. He can't even eat. That's not derech eras. Well, maybe we would answer that question by saying, anyway, it's really just symbolic. So it's still symbolic. But he answers, no, a lefty should lean on his right side. What about choking? So he thinks that the cause for the choking is because you're eating in an abnormal manner. So if the lefty leans on his left side, A, he won't be able to eat normally, and B, that abnormality would cause him to choke. And therefore, the lefty should lean on his right side. We don't accept that Maharal. We say lefties lean on the left side. Okay, so now I wanted to switch over to a new topic to talk about the Arba Kosos. So Arba Kosos is, of course, one of the exciting mitzvos of the Seder. We drink four cups of wine, and we do them on four different mitzvos. The first cup we drink, and we are mekayim the mitzvah of Kiddush on Kos Rishon. And then the second one is on Maggid. That's why we fill the cup at the beginning of Maggid, and we drink the cup at the end of Maggid, and we pick up the cup at the end of Maggid. The third is Birkas Hamazon, and the fourth is Hallel. Now, there's an interesting question, how much you have to drink. So first, let's talk about how much you have to drink for typical kosher bracha, like Kiddush. How much wine do you have to drink at Kiddush? So the Gemara in Pesachim says you have to drink a mali lugmav. How much is a mali lugmav? A cheekful. How much is that? So Tosos thinks it's rov revius, a majority of revius. It's going to actually depend on the size of the person. The Gemara says that the mali lugmav of Og Melech HaBashan will be very large because he was a giant. But for a typical person, let's say it's around 2 ounces or so, maybe a little more. So, and you could try to figure it out yourself. For Yom Kippur, we say the other direction, we want to play it safe if you're having Pachos Mikdash Shiur. But anyway, so that's what mali, that's the shiur for a typical kosher bracha like Kiddush. For Havdalah, we try to drink a little more, not al tzmitzas Havdalah, but because since mali lugmav is a suffix, whether you make a bracha chrona or not, so it's better to have a revia so you could vade make a bracha chrona. But really, the kosher bracha for mitzvos is mali lugmav. That's how much you have to drink. Now, what's very interesting is that the Gemara says that when it comes to arba kosos, how much should you drink? The Gemara says rov kos. Rov kos. The kos has to hold a revias. That's true for all kos shel mitzvah. You only have to drink a mali lugmav, but the kos has to hold a revias. Debate in the postgame how much you figure out a revius is. We could talk about what it means practically, but you have to have a rove. The coast itself has to hold a revius, and how much of the cup do you have to drink? You have to drink rove coast. So now the question is that the same thing as the regular shear? Or is the din for arba kosos fundamentally different? So this appears to be a machlokas rishonim. It's a machlokas rishonim. According to Tosfos, it would seem that this is the regular halacha. In other words, just like at Kiddush, the shear is mali lugmav. The shear at the arba kosos is also mali lugmav. We call it here rov revius. Rov revius is the same thing as mali lugmav. Really, it's the same thing. We should mention how much actually is a revius. Again, the cup has to hold a revius. So the Gemara says two different things. The question is, how do they shtim? It's actually a big problem. In one place, the Gemara says 2 thumbs by 2.7 thumbs. That's how big a revius is. In another place, it says a revius is 1.5 beitzim, 1.5 eggs, the volume of 1.5 eggs. Now, the problem is, and the Tzlach pointed this out, the Tzlach Sinan of Yehuda, that 2 by 2 by 2.7 is about twice as much as eggs are, at least the eggs in his time. So we have two different shurim. Which one is right? So there's really two possible solutions. Either you could say that people shrunk, in other words, their thumbs used to be much bigger, or you could say that eggs got smaller. So he thinks it makes more sense to assume probably the eggs got smaller. And therefore he says, even though the Gemara says that a revius is 1.5 eggs, we should be machmir and have 3 eggs. And based off of that, he also said you have to double the kezias. That's one of the reasons. Maybe next time we could talk about how much matzah you have to eat. But that's one of the reasons why, even though an olive that we see is like this big, somehow or another, many poskim say you have to eat these giant quantities of matzah. There's several reasons how that happened. But one of them is this question, the Nota Behuda, that relates to beitzim. Now, what is, okay, that has to do with beitzim and revius. What does that have to do with kezias? Because some sources associate and say a kezias is a third or a half of an egg. And therefore, since there's an association with a kezias and an egg, and he thinks that the eggs must have shrunk, so that means the kezias much have shrunk. But not everybody accepts it. Tzlach, Aruch HaShulchan and others disagree. The Mishnah writes we should be machmir to follow the tzlach by a doraisa. What does that mean? So if it's a doraisa shear, Rav Moshe says, I think, 4.42 ounces. And if it's a derabanan, 2.9 ounces. The Chazon Ish was very machmir, 5.07 ounces for a doraisa. Chaim does a little more mako. But, you know, about 5 ounces is certainly very safe for your Kiddush cup. If you had a 5-ounce Kiddush cup, I think they say that the Kiddush cup of the Chafetz Chaim, they actually have it, is about 5 ounces. Okay. So that is that's the start. There's a very famous story with Rav Dessler. So Rav Chazon Ish, as we just mentioned, has a very big shear for a vias, 5.07 ounces. It's not that big. I mean, you know, 5 ounces is not that much, but it's relatively speaking a lot. So when Dessler moved from England to Bnei Brak in the early 50s. He came to be the Mashkiach in the Panovich Yeshiva. So he decided that it's the town of the Chazon Ish. He should have use a Kiddush cup that was the size of the Chazon Ish. So his wife, who was the niece, I think, of Reb Chaim Ozer. So they were given a Kiddush cup for their wedding present from Reb Chaim Ozer. Reb Chaim Ozer Budzinski was the great posek in Vilna and really the gadol posek in the first half of the 20th century. So she was very offended that her uncle's Kiddush cup wouldn't work, wasn't good enough. So the Chazon Ish, that Reb Dessler never said anything else. He used his wife's Kiddush cup until she passed away. After she passed away, he switched back. But he was very, as much as he might have wanted to be machmir for the Shir Chazon Ish, he didn't want to do it in a way that would possibly hurt the feelings of his wife. Anyway, so therefore, if you want to be machmir, 5 ounces is certainly enough. As we'll see, it's not a good idea to have a giant Kiddush cup. Some Kiddush cups, they're huge. They're 7 ounces. So especially at the Seder, because as we'll see, even l'chatchila, you're supposed to drink the whole cup. And according to the Ramban, you have to drink at least most of the cup. And so if you have a really big kos, then, I mean, I guess if you like wine, then it would be fine. But if you have a hard time drinking all those cups of wine, there's no reason to have a kos that's bigger than you need. So before the Seder, you could go get a measuring cup and check out how big your kos is. You may find it too small, but you might also find it much bigger than actually you need, and it makes fulfilling the mitzvah harder. So that is that's the shear. So again, everybody agrees that the question is this halacha that you need, when the Gemara says that for arba kosos you need rov kos, is that the regular din or is it a special din? So the Ramban says it's a regular din. It's a special din. In other words, normally all you need is Mali Lugmav, but by the Seder, you need Rov Kos, meaning to say a majority of the cup. And so according to the Ramban, if you had a 10-ounce Kiddush cup, normally on Shabbos, you only need to have Mali Lugmav. But at the Seder, you need to have 5.1 ounces you need to drink. So what does that tell us? What's the logic? Why would it be that the Seder, you need to drink Rov HaKos, even though normally you only need to drink Mali Lugmav? So what does that tell us? That tells us something very, very significant about the nature of the drinking at the Seder. That the drinking of the Seder is not just a regular din of Kiddush al HaKos, or Kos al Bracha, or even Magid al HaKos, or even Benching al HaKos. But there's a din of Arba Kosos. It's a din of Arba Kosos, four cups. And therefore, you have to drink four cups of wine. Cups meaning the whole cup. Really, you should drink the whole cup, except we say Rubo Kikulo. We say that drinking a majority is like you drank the whole thing, Rubo Kikulo. And in fact, some Rishonim say, therefore, Rubo Kikulo is only B'diabet. L'chatchila, you should drink Kulo. That's a special din in Arba Kosos, as opposed to the rest of the year. The rest of the year, let's say for Kiddush, you just need Te'ima. And Te'ima is with a Mali Lugmav. That's all you need. So here we have an interesting debate about the nature of Arba Kosos. This might relate to another interesting debate, and then we'll see how these things perhaps go together. There's another interesting debate based off of the Gemara. The Gemara says that if you drink the four cups of wine, bevas achas, all at once, so you're not yotzei mitzvos arba kosos. So what does it mean you drink all four cups at once? So the way Rashi says is that means you take a really big cup and you pour in four rivios and you drink four cups of wine, four rivios from one big giant cup, and you're not yotzei. So Rashbam says, that's obvious you're not yotzei. That's not four cups of wine. That's one cup of wine. It's one giant cup of wine. So what does the Gemara mean when it says if you drink four cups of wine that you're not yotzei? It means you drink one right after the other. In other words, instead of fulfilling the mitzvah of arba kosos by having the first kos on mitzvahs kiddush, the second kos on mitzvahs sipur yetzias mitzrayim, the third cup on mitzvahs berkas hamazon, fourth cup on mitzvahs halal, you had one right after the other, and you're still not yotzei. Now, there's according to Rashbam's reading, then the mitzvah of arba kosos is a mitzvah that not just to drink four cups of wine, but rather to drink them al haseder. Right? They have to be drunk in a proper place. Right? There's an interesting nafkamina. Let's say you have a guest at your seder. Okay, this guest, an elderly person, and after you finally finish the meal and you finally bench, you just drank your third cup, this guest says, I'm sorry, I gotta go. This is like, it's midnight. This is enough. Thank you so much for inviting me. Have a good night. I'll see you next year. So now, do you tell them, oh, well, you just had three cups. Quickly drink a fourth cup, right? Okay, they're not gonna stay for Hallel anyway. Hallel, there's no way they're gonna stay, but at least drink a fourth cup. That way you'll have drunk four cups of wine. So according to Rashi, there would be a point in that. According to Rashi, if you drink four cups of wine, you fulfilled your mitzvah of arba kosos. Okay, the best way to do it is in the proper places, but at least you drink four cups of wine. Whereas if you follow Rashbam, if you drink another cup now without saying it on Hallel, so that's not arba kosos. You drank three cups of wine, but you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of arba kosos, right? So here we have a debate. In other words, what's the idea? Is the debate to just drink four cups of wine? Yeah. The best way to do it is to put them in certain places, but really the mitzvah is to drink four cups of wine. Let's say somebody's got to do a quickie Seder, right? There's a discussion I saw in Rav Rimon Sefer. Rav Rimon has a book for the halachos of soldiers in the Israeli army, Chayalim. So there are all sorts of interesting situations. So one of the situations is, let's say you have 5 minutes to have a Seder. right? Why? You can't have more. You're on guard duty. You can't leave to go have a nice Seder. So how do you figure out how to have a 5-minute Seder or a 10-minute Seder? You know, what's the most important things? So let's think about this. You know, is there a point of drinking just 4 cups of wine, one right after the other? Is that maybe if you're on guard duty, you shouldn't have wine. Okay, I'll grape juice. So is that the proper thing to do? So according to Rashi, yeah, at least then you would have fulfilled your mitzvah of arbakosas. According to Rashban, you wouldn't. I thought maybe another nafkamina would be like this. Here's an interesting shaila. Let's say somebody forgot, you know, that you're supposed to pour the third cup of wine before benching, right? And then you hold the kos over benching. So it's birkas hamazon al kos. Let's say you forgot, you benched, and you realized, I forgot to fill up the cup. So you fill it up now, afterwards, and you drink it. So is that good? According to Rashi, yeah, at least it's a third cup of wine. But according to Rashban, maybe it's nothing because you didn't do birkas hamazon al kos. You just had a random cup of wine. So according to Rashban, you'd have to wash, have hamotzi again, and then bench, this time al kos. Maybe you could say no, since there was wine at the table and you benched with the wine at the table. It's still going on a birkas hamazon, I'm not sure. But potentially that could be a nafkamina, another nafkamina. So these are two shilas. They're more related shilas. Maybe another time we could expand on this idea that relate to the nature of mitzvah arba kosos and how does it integrate with the rest of the Seder. Just in closing, I guess we'll stop here. Maybe next week, Bezer Hashem, we'll talk a little bit more about Divrei Torah for the Seder and things like that, ideas you could share. So we'll do that next week in Mirtz Hashem. We'll talk about Divrei Torah for the Seder, not just the halachos. But I think that this week and the last week, we've had a chance to talk about the halachos of the Seder, especially this week. And an interesting to think about, you know, to think about is we have to know the halachos of the Seder because we have to do the halachos correctly, like any other time. But to what degree do the halachos of the Seder relate to the story of the Seder? What do I mean to say? Well, let me give you an example. So let's say we know that we say in Haggadah, Kol hamar belasaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim harei zeh meshubach. The more you expand on the description of the story of the Exodus, the better, right? That's part of the mitzvah. It's true. You know, if you tell the story in a basic way, you fulfill the mitzvah in a basic way. But the more you're expansive, so the better. So let's say somebody's at their Seder and they have lots of Divrei Torah, but all their Divrei Torah are not so much about the story, right? And that happens a lot at people's Seder because the detail, the story comes up at sort of the second half of Maggid for the most part. By then, a lot of times people are all like worn out and they're rushing and they're running late. And there's so many Divrei Torah about, you know, ancillary issues and even halachic questions. You know, do you have a kazayas of karpas, more than a kazayas, less than a kazayas? The Rambam says you have more. But what about Kiddush b'makom? So all these shilas. So is that, you know, have they sort of missed the boat? So maybe. I think perhaps it would be a little better to expand on the story. But I thought also, maybe not. Why? First of all, it's interesting. In the Haggadah, it says, Chacham mahu omer. And what does the Chacham ask? Ma'edus v'chukim v'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu v'aschem. And what do we tell him? La'atham or lo kilchus ha'pesach. Ein maftir nachar pesach ach v'komen. So he asks a question, and the answer is hilchus pesach, right? La'atham or lo kilchus ha'pesach. We teach him halacha. And not only that, right? All the way to the last detail. Ein maftir nachar pesach ach v'komen. why don't we focus on the story? And the answer, perhaps, is because what do we say in the pasuk? The pasuk that we quote most frequently in Magid, Bavur Zeasa Hashem. Bavur what? Why did God redeem us? Because of this. What's this? Matzah Omar, the mitzvahs, the halacha. In other words, part of the story is saying that we were redeemed to keep the halacha, matzah, maror, pesach. Telling the stories is part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim, but also thinking about the halacha is part of the story, because we were redeemed not just to be free, but to keep the Torah. And that includes dikduk b'halacha. And therefore, thinking about the halacha as well is really part of the story. So the fact that we do sometimes spend a lot of time even talking about halacha and thinking a lot about halacha, maybe thinking especially a lot about halacha at the Seder, is a reflection of this idea, this appreciation that the redemption was for us to keep the Torah and to be medaktik in halacha. So Bezus Hashem, hopefully we'll be zocha to be able to keep the mitzvah Seder beautifully and properly, and not just to tell the story beautifully, but get the halachos correctly, and thereby fulfill this mitzvah of the mitzvah halayla in the most appropriate and proper way. Okay, so shkayach and abezus Hashem. Next week we'll talk about ideas. Divrei Torah for the Seder and things that we could share at our own Seder. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you.
Good night. Good night.